Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Wednesday, 29 June. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Bain McCurry, some updates, actually a lot of updates. Green Road, Sun International, and of course, Stage 6. The Rand lost 30 cents yesterday. Craig Antonia from Edinburgh Capital. The NASPAS process, Tencent, JD.com. We want to dig into all of that. Isaac Odendahl from Old Mutual Wealth. Where to find value in a high inflation and a rising interest rate world. This show is brought to you by Stanley. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Takealot is now almost the size of Game. On sales through the till, it's about 1.5 times the size. I got to say, I would have thought it was bigger. And from Business Day, Implats and MQ sign 5-year wage deal that ensures stability of operations. That's a big deal. 5 years, usually they're 3-year deals. This is really good for both the workers and for Implats. Morning markets, most stuff is red. US, S&P down 2%, NASDAQ off 3.1% last night. In Asia, we've got Sydney and Tokyo both down 1.1%. Commodities, a bit of green creeping through, not a lot. Gold, $1,821. Brent, $116.95 a barrel. Platinum, $912. And palladium, $1,906 an ounce. Rand, $16.07 against the dollar. Top 40 opening call, 700 points to the red. That's a little over 1%. That is 10 cent trades up 0.2% in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Tony and I with Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investment. Wayne, appreciate the early morning. I mentioned in the intro there, stage six blackouts, what is what they really are. I mean, it goes without saying, horrid for the economy. Rand lost 30 cents. It's the last thing our economy needs as it's truthfully kind of stumbling along with not enough growth already.
Yeah. I mean, it is truly awful. And when you think that this has been going for what now, 17 years?
Yeah.
And only really effective steps being taken in the last, call it, year and a half to actually sort it out.
Yeah.
So for 15 years, effectively, you crossed your fingers and hoped that Kuseli and Madupi would work, and then they didn't work, and then you were stuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
My nephew's 14. He's known load shedding his entire life.
His whole life.
It's just crazy like that. Sun International came with an update yesterday. Not quite, but almost back at pre-pandemic. Certainly a good update from them. Market liked it.
It was a good update. They almost back to normal. I mean, they had about a 50% increase in turnover.
Mm-hmm.
And some of their sections, I think it was hotels and leisure, whatever, was up almost 70%. So people are actually staying over in hotels, and that's very good news. And clearly, this was reported before total restrictions were lifted. So they're probably already back at pre-pandemic levels because now, I mean, this is, thank goodness, totally behind us now.
Yeah, and they also made the point that they're not actually yet seeing sort of international back to normal. So it's local. It's me, you, and listeners out there who are traveling. When we start seeing, as you say, restrictions completely gone, foreigners coming back, they're well positioned.
Yes, I think so as well.
Grindrod, a lot of T's and C's in Grindrod. I mean, they've been, you know, getting rid of assets and restructuring and the like. But,
yes,
looking fairly good. And certainly the share's been doing okay. I mean, I'm a Durban boy, so everyone in Durban loves Grindrod, of course. But
yeah, it's
actually looking not bad.
No, not bad at all. But understand, it's heavily cyclical. And right now they're going through a good part of the cycle.
Yeah.
This is a notoriously difficult business to be in. It truly is. It's almost like a sort of low-cost airlines or the chicken business. It's notoriously difficult.
Yeah, I mean, they got rid of shipping, which of course, I mean, someone once said to me, what, shipping loses money for 9 years and then makes it all back in the 10th? They got rid of that, but they still ports, they still, they're logistics, they're in commodities, bulk commodities and the like. Those are always going to be cyclical, even without the ships.
Yes.
And they do have about a dozen ships off the East Coast.
Yes, I mean it is. It's not a business that I would buy into, other than a pure cyclical turnaround.
Yeah, Yeah. And then the last one coming through was Hudeco. They didn't say very much in their update, except to say, I mean, HEPS is going to be about 23 to 27% higher. Again, not knocking it out the park. It is, of course, 6 months to May, so there's some base effect, but perhaps not as much, perhaps, as some of the others who've done sort of full years to February and March.
Yeah, but look, I mean, Hudeco and Victor are the last two industrial companies around on our All Share Index. And the mining sector is doing well, so they should have a reasonable time, actually.
Yeah, we saw that. You make a point. I mean, I chatted to Stephen Joffe from Invicta. They're actually doing well in the industrial space. And they're mining, but they're huge. They've got so many points of presence.
Yeah. No, I actually quite like the companies over time. They are cyclical, but I actually quite like them.
Yeah, they are cyclical. Perhaps not quite as much as a Grindrod, who seems to spend ages going absolutely nowhere. We'll leave that there. Wayne McCurry, FNB Wealth and Investment. Appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Jenny and I with Craig and Tony. If Enbro Capital is where you find them. Craig, appreciate the early morning. The process NASPERS numbers came out Monday. Market absolutely loved it on Monday, although I suspect they liked perhaps the selling down of Tencent. But it really is still all about Tencent. The number that struck me is that literally 125% of the profits come from Tencent. Everything else, their delivery and all the other bits, are loss-making.
Yes, well, good morning, Simon, to you and your listeners. I'm always happy to be here. You're right. I mean, certainly it's the only real driver of earnings for the company. You know, outside of Tencent, it's just really the classified and e-tail components which generate positive adjusted earnings, but they're more like a rounding error, you know, if one compares it to the Tencent contribution, if we're honest. I mean, overall, as you said, I mean, the rest of the segments lost about $880 million for NASPERS over the last reporting period. Hardly, you know, something to be happy about.
And I take the point, and we've seen this, I want to say early stage, although some of them, like Delivery Hero, perhaps not quite so early. You are massively loss-making for an age, and then you start to make the money. Facebook did it, for an example, and then suddenly they turned on the taps and made a fortune. I mean, if we look across their delivery, their other bits of the business there, I mean, is there proper viability? I think, you know, delivering food is a hard game and a competitive game and a slim margin one.
I think you're 100% correct there, Simon. I mean, the market clearly has doubts on the business ex Tencent, you know, and this is why it trades at such a massive discount to its NAV. And this despite all the financial maneuvering or engineering that we've seen over the last couple of years and that they've experimented with by, you know, spinning up process and all the rest of it. I mean, everyone has a view, and I mean, I'll give you my view. Mm-hmm. My personal view is that, I mean, they're piling cash into two hugely unprofitable businesses at the moment, or perhaps not both unprofitable, but unprofitable segments.
Yeah.
And when you make a comment around, you know, food delivery and the other part of the business that is attracting a lot of capital at the moment in the classified section is OLX Autos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really have two companies which are highly cyclical. You know, there's fierce competition, margins are low. And, you know, if you were to ask me my opinion, I'd say, you know, you're probably coming into these businesses at the end of their cycle. I mean, if one looks in the current cycle anyway, I mean, if one looks at the food delivery business, I mean, it's no secret that, you know, the golden age for companies like that was COVID, right? I mean, where people literally had no option but to stay home and, you know, everything had to be delivered to them. This was the time that these businesses should be literally printing cash. And despite all of that, they still were loss-making and the losses continued to grow. I mean, if you look at something like that business, I mean, just to give you an idea of how competitive the game is, I mean, Delivery Hero had to actually exit their home country of Germany because it was too competitive. You know, the UK business was sold to Just Eat. They, you know, opened up in China and eventually closed that business down, saying it was just insanely competitive and they couldn't compete. The other thing I think that struck me is, you know, management seem a bit subdued actually about the business. You know, they talk a lot about the opportunity, but, you know, they ultimately say they, you know, when you read the results, that, you know, they believe that this company will ultimately yield a good return on investment. And I mean, that doesn't sound hell of exciting to me.
And it comes to the point. I mean, it's barriers to entry. As you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, Facebook's got the network effect. And yes, Instagram's got TikTok coming to eat its lunch. But it's, got that sort of network effect. I look at this and there isn't a classic that moat which Warren Buffett would talk about.
No, 100% correct. And I think, you know, you've seen that in the sector as a whole. You know, there's already been a heck of a lot of consolidation. And, you know, really what's happening here is companies are either stepping out of markets or trying to merge to, you know, to make sure they gain the critical mass that is required to survive. But I think ultimately the problem you have in segments like this is that, you know, and particularly at the moment, which is why I say I'm worried about the, you know, the cyclical elements of them, is you have, you know, interest rates rising, you have economy slowing, you have the consumer under a little bit of pressure. You know, if one looks at the OLX segments, I mean, people have been buying cars and paying more than fair value for secondhand cars. They've taken on inventory, you know, into the business. And that part of the market is already starting to slow down as, you know, economy slow, consumers battle, and inventory comes back online. So you have, you know, massive, you know, investments being put into these businesses, which, and I personally think it's probably at the wrong time. And, you know, that's the biggest risk. And then, you know, what you're doing now to fund these, you know, these investments is you're selling down your stake in Tencent, which is arguably, you know, a giant of a business and, you know, been incredibly successful for you. And one that has probably, you know, hit its low in terms of relative valuation, you know, for people that are, you know, happy to take on the risks of investing in China. You know, things are arguably getting better there now, I think, for their businesses and not worse. You know, so you're moving from something that's fundamentally, you know, undervalued and that is 60-odd% of its highs, you know, and pushing that capital, you know, into businesses which are, you know, arguably far more competitive, far lower margin and far more cyclical.
Yeah, and I take that point. And that was going to be my next question. I mean, the selling down of Tencent, and particularly at those price points that they're doing, market liked it because it brings some cash into the business. And of course, they use that cash then to buy back shares, prop up Delivery Hero and the like. We'll leave it there, Craig Antonio. Anbro Capital, as always, appreciate the early morning insights.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Isaac Odendahl, Old Mutual Wealth Strategist. Isaac, appreciate the early morning time. Note out earlier this week, you made the great point that, you know, inflation starts is looking entrenched in the US, and that rates started the year at 0% and might end at 4%. That is massively fast increase over a single calendar year. But what you're talking around is really, you know, around, what do we look at as cheap? Where do we find value? And you make a great point, a line I really, really like, which is, you know, when stocks are cheaper in terms of just prices, you don't have to make heroic assumptions about the cash flows. It does mean it's perhaps a little bit easier, although, you know, you still got to be a cautious out there.
Yeah, good morning, Simon. Certainly, the market is a lot cheaper than it was, I'm talking globally now, than it was at the start of the year. So I think the opportunities are emerging. I'm not a bottom-up guy, I'm a top-down guy, but I'm sure the bottom-up stock analysts are finding great companies that are, you know, now trading below their fair values. I think there is some value. From a top-down point of view, I think there's still reason to be cautious, simply because, you know, we started the year with we started the year with optimism, and then it became clear that inflation was entrenched, and you saw this big upward move in interest rates. And that drove the first leg down of stock market, is really just recalibrating to a higher interest rate environment. Where we are now is, if you kind of follow the market narratives and you also look at the data, you know, there's increasing concern over the economic outlook. And what does that mean for companies' ability to generate profits? So the earnings assumptions that are still built into you know, the consensus forecast and so on, you know, those still look very rosy. Given the fact that the economy is under increasing strain globally because of very high inflation, because of very high fuel prices, and also because of interest rates are rising, because interest rates do slow down activity, although it's a gradual process.
And you made the point. I mean, in the US, you say so. You know, the sort of PE ratio is down to long term average. But you know, what about those earnings going forward? Non-US valuations. You know, valuations are looking attractive. But what about top line growth? In other words, yes, things are cheaper. But it is, what are we going to see over the next, you know, 6, 12, truthfully, 24, 36 months? And it is going to likely be challenging with a high inflation environment, which, you know, for much of the, particularly the developed world, for the first time in decades.
Yeah, it's a big shock. I mean, you just look at the consumer confidence numbers that came out of the US last night.
Yeah,
people are very, very negative. Even though you know, unemployment is as low as it's been in also about 40 years. You know, people are extremely negative because they're not used to this kind of inflation. I think South Africans, we're a little bit more used to dealing with these kinds of shocks. The economic outlook is uncertain, and you know, the risk of a recession in the US is rising. I wouldn't say it's baked in, but it's rising. And I think certainly in Europe, you also have to say that there the risk of recession is even greater, because Europe is an energy importer. It doesn't have the offset of its own energy production like US has. Plus, there's still the risk that at any stage, you know, Putin can wake up one morning and cut off gas flows to Europe, and then large parts of European industry sit without an energy source and will have to shut down. So certainly the economic outlook is just very, very uncertain. You can easily paint a scenario where everything turns out fine, you know, inflation starts trending down naturally by itself, and there are some signs, you know, here and there that might be happening, and that, you know, the central banks don't have to cut rates aggressively, and, you know, everything works out fine. So that is a scenario, but there's also a scenario where we do tip over into a recession or very, very weak growth. And I think, you know, for that kind of scenario, could still lead to some, you know, some weakness on markets while we sort of reprice for it.
Yeah, and I like that point. You can make the argument for rosy, but you can also make the argument for not rosy. A quick last question. What about local? And between your writing the note and us chatting this morning, of course, stage six arrived. And, you know, the mining is enjoying the high commodity prices, the agri space and the like. But I mean, our economy is being battered, and you know, stage six is absolutely hurting.
No, it is terrible. There's no doubt about it. It really will depend on how long this lasts for.
Yeah.
But then, just again to reiterate the point I made earlier, I think to an extent we are used to, you know, these kind of disruptions. I think we are just much more used to working in an environment where things don't go our way. So, you know, I think a lot of businesses will just kind of make a plan, get on with it. But it is not good for the economy, clearly. And also, if there is going to be a global slowdown, I think that will put some pressure on commodity prices. So South Africa won't escape a global slowdown, but, you know, we've got the benefit at least of our markets being cheap.
Yeah.
No, so your starting point gives you some buffer there.
Yeah, it gives you some protection, and I particularly like your point. We've kind of, you know, stage six arose yesterday, and I don't know, we've learned to manage it. We shouldn't have to learn to manage it, but we absolutely have. That's Isaac Erton, the Old Mutual Wealth Strategist. Appreciate the early morning time. And that's our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter. Where are you thinking that your preferred destination for investing right now? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. Chatting with Pierre Clureyden has yesterday about that strong up move in NASPAS and Process on Monday. They came back a bit on yesterday. But the question really was, has this seen a trend change? Petri was saying on NASPAS, 2,330 was the number. And he was, do you think the trend has changed to up? Because, of course, it's been down for an age. A fifth of you were saying yes each way. Yes, it looks like it, or you hope so. And I suppose those are kind of more or less the same. But almost two-thirds of you were saying, nope, this is just a bounce. Stay away, not happy. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're talking cryptocurrency.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.